Good morning. This morning I'm going to take our text from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1 beginning, and we're going to go down through verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 down through verse 6. I've titled this morning's lesson, The Right Way. Let me tell you right now, if there's a right way, there's a wrong way. The gray area is not there. That's a figment of your imagination. It's either right or it's wrong. And so that's what I want to look at this morning, the right way. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all and to be testified in due time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this another wonderful, blessed day. Another day of freedom. Another day you've given us to breathe the breath of life, that we might be your servants, that we might be able to read more and study your word and teach and preach your word and witness to a lost and dying world. I pray, Lord, that you help us to be the living sacrifice that you want us to be, that we might be fruitful in our lives and not as the dead branch that gives no fruit. We ask, Lord, that you be with all of our members of this church. And for those that have the physical needs, Lord, that you just uplift them, encourage them, strengthen them, give them the peace that passes all understanding. For those that need to make decisions, Lord, all of us in our lives, that we might be the servants that you want us to be. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. It's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I wanted to back up and give you just a little bit about chapter 1. So to back up to one chapter, and Paul writing this letter to Timothy, but it pertains to all of us. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, he told Timothy, he said, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I pause every time I hear that. No other doctrine. Because it just, I hear it, I still hear it. And I know, I'm sure you've heard it. That God will accept your way. Whether you believe what's right or what's wrong. God accepts His way, and God accepts His way only. He doesn't accept your way. It sounds good. In class, we learned about things that sounded good, that vain way of life, that cunning fables, devised fables. Well, that's what that is if you think that God accepts your way. God says in His Word, as He told Paul to tell Timothy, teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment, now in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience. You ever drink a glass of water with something in it that wasn't supposed to be there? I've picked up a glass to go to drink it and seen something was in there and washed it out and got me a pure glass of water. You know what I'm talking about. A pure heart means one that's God is in there and the world is out. How many of us want something else besides God in our heart? You know, you want to get rid of that. The end of the commandment is charity. What's the end of the commandment? It's the same as the beginning. He told some lawyers The commandment is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. The second one was like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the commandments. Love is the greatest out of the three. Faith, hope, and love. Love's the greatest. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Remove those things that are not pure. And of a good conscience. How many of us have a good conscience? If you dwell in the past and things you've done wrong, your conscience is going to be bothering you all the time. Pure conscience means get on your knees. Ask God forgiveness for your past, for your life, for things that you do. Move on with your life. Pure conscience from that time. When we observe the Lord's Supper, it says we're all unworthy, but it says to not do it in an unworthily fashion. Before you take the Lord's Supper, have a pure conscience. If things need to be resolved, come to the altar and resolve them. Out of a good conscience and faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved and turned aside unto vain jangling. That's just random talking. You ever ask somebody a question directly?
Oh boy.
It's a yes or no question. This is yes or no. But yet they have to have this 15-page essay before they get to the answer, and when they're done, they never said yes or no. And so you leave not knowing the true question, what you ask. Yes or no. That's random talking. Vain jangling. It's empty. Some have swerved and turned aside into vain jangling. You ever watched I know everybody does this. You go online or you listen to a preacher on the radio and they sound good, but when you're done with listening, you don't know what you learned. You know what I'm talking about? That's vain jangling. You don't know what you learned. Random talking. There are some that have swerved and turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law. People want to be teachers of the law. Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. I've never been to an actual seminary school, but I've listened to preachers who have gone to seminary schools, and they say that when they go to the school, let's just say 10 people go to the school, 5 graduate. Because there's 5 that went there knowing everything and thought they knew it all. And they didn't know anything, and they didn't want no part of the rest of the seminary. They were desiring to be teachers of the law. They knew nothing, but in their own selves, they thought they knew everything. They don't understand what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Now, let's go back to our text. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Here he tells Timothy, I exhort. You know what exhort means? To call near. I'm asking everyone in here to listen. I'm inviting you to listen. Please listen to what I say. He's inviting Timothy, please listen. Let it sink in. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Sink in what I'm saying. He's calling. It means beseech. Beseech means earnest me from the depth of you. Paul told Timothy, I exhort, therefore meaning because of the above reasoning, and in the above reasoning, if you'll read the end of the chapter of 1 Timothy chapter 1, you'll find where these two men were teaching something contrary to the Word of God. Because, wherefore, or therefore, in 1 Timothy in verse 18 of chapter 1, he says, this I charge, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away faith, having made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That tells me that God says He has a way, and if you alter from that way, He don't want any part of you, and those are the people that are going, He's going to stand before Him when God comes back and all men stand before Him, and there's going to be some that say, Lord, have not we done all these things in Your name? Now, before you point your finger at somebody else, you need to think about yourself. Am I the one that God's going to say, have I done all these things in Your name? Am I going to be the one that God's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you? I'm going to tell you right now, if you follow the Word of God, He's not going to say that to you. It's not going to happen. You abided in His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18, referring to these two men, who concerning the truth they have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. They taught them that there is not going to be another resurrection. Well, the Bible teaches, God's Word teaches, there is going to be. We are going to be resurrected. We're going to be called home. There is one. Don't teach another doctrine. First Timothy chapter 2, let me go back. I exhort therefore that first of all, now there's some things listed here. It doesn't mean this particular order. It's just talking about all these things wrapped up in one. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. What's supplication? Supplication would be the request. Has anybody ever made a request to a parent when they were younger? You request? Have you ever pleaded? Sometimes it might get you in trouble if you have your own mindset and your way, which is wrong, and you want to push the issue of your way, that might get you in trouble. But your request means godly request, something that God would allow you to do. Your requests. Psalmist David wrote Psalms 28 verse 6, blessed be the Lord because He hath heard the voice of my supplication. He heard the voice of the supplication of His earnest prayer from His heart, desiring to be the person that God wanted him to be. When you pray that way, God hears your request. Do you know the Scripture says He heareth not sinners? You know what that means? Your request is not a godly request. So first of all, your supplications, your requests, your godly request, not talking about all of them, but your godly request. I got a couple of more Psalms I want to read to you on the request. Psalms 31:22. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. Why? Because he was crying unto the Lord for the Lord to be righteous unto him for his righteousness. Psalms 116 verse 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. First of all, supplications, prayers. What's prayers? You ever heard people pray so much that they're just words? It's not from the heart, it's from the brain and how smart they are and how knowledgeable and how big words they can use, and they bring it out their mouth and they sound good. Not those prayers, but prayers, the effectual, earnest prayer. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Pray how? The effectual, earnest prayer, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which means your supplications, your requests, your godly requests, your earnest prayers from your heart, your intercessions. When you intercede on behalf of somebody else, let your intercession, In Genesis 18:23, Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Talking about when he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He was intercessing for the people. He loved the people. He didn't want God to destroy the people. He was interceding for them. Let our intercessions for all people be of a godly intercession. Let all your prayers, all your supplications, all your intercessions, let them, and all your giving of thanks. How many of us have ever ate a meal and didn't say thank you before you ate it? I've done it. I do it. But then while I'm eating, I'm like, wow, that first bite or two I ate, you know, that might make me sick. I didn't say thank you, Lord, for it. We need to always be thankful. Whenever Jesus took bread, He blessed it. He gave thanks. Whenever He fed the 5,000, He gave thanks. He always thanked the Lord for everything. He was a man that had the least amount of physical stuff in this world. But he thanked God for everything he had and was extremely happy and was blessed more than any man. Least amount of stuff, but blessed more than any man. God's the only one that looked down. Jesus is the only person God looked on and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Gratitude. Grateful language. Thankfulness. Are we thankful when we complain? Are we thankful when we knock somebody else down? Are we thankful when we bump our head? Are we thankful when the clothes don't fit right anymore? If somebody asks you, "What are you thankful for?" and you don't know what to say, time to take some spiritual checkups. Time to go back in the Word and read. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says we are to give thanks always. Not just for the good, not just for the bad, not for just certain things, but for everything. There has been people, preachers, I've heard them preach this in sermons, how they were preaching the Word of God, they were missionaries, and on their way to a mission work, got in a serious car crash and mangled their bodies, and they didn't think they were going to live, and they asked God why, and then years down the road, they look back, and they know why, and understand, and are thankful for what God allowed them to go through for His purpose. Now I know, God, I should be thankful. It's hard to be thankful at that moment when the crisis happens. But when you look back, how many of us see hindsight as 20/20? You know what that means? Perfect vision. I see clear. I look back and understand why when I asked why. Why? Giving of thanks always for God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be made for how many men? Just a few? Just those that who you like? This says for all men. Did you know when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the very ones that nailed Him, the physical nailing, beating, scourging, crown of thorns, you know what He said? He said, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. I love them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." All men, every human being, not for animals. Some people think animals are going to heaven with them. Animals not going to heaven with you. God didn't die for the animal. God died for you. God loved you. All men. Heaven was designed for all men. Did you know that? Not all men will go, but it was designed for all men. How do we pray for all men? I'll tell you right now, if you don't have on all of the armor of God, you're not going to do that. You're going to fall short. When you put on all of the armor of God, then you are not in the way of making intercession and prayer for men and giving of thanks. In Ephesians 6:13, if you read that, down through verse 18, it talks about the armor of God. Put it all on. Put all of the armor of God on. If you're missing something, it's because you have failed to follow the Lord and you don't have that armor to put on. Put it all on. Verse 18 of Ephesians 6, after you've put on all the armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for all saved people. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that you give thanks always. Who do we give thanks to? Kings, for all those that are in authority. Now there's some people that we are in authority over our lives, and we're not to accept and be carried away by every wind of doctrine, but we are to pray for that person. We are to help lift up that person. We're to be obedient to those that are our masters. Who's your master? Well, God is, if you're following Him and you have on all the armor, He is your master. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, the Scripture says. 1 Peter 2:13. Whether it be of kings as supreme, or as governors, or as unto them that are sent by Him for punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. But as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Our request be made for all men meaning kings, and for all those in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. You know, if you punch somebody in the mouth, they're going to remember that, and they're probably going to seek revenge on it. If you badmouth somebody and they find out about it, the repercussions of that is going to be terrible. If you do things to people that are ungodly, the repercussions are going to be ungodly. If you want good, give good. But if you want bad, give bad. Lead a quiet and peaceable life. Some people have led very harsh lives and then come to know the Lord, but because of that harsh life, they have to reap what they sow. And you will reap what you sow. But from that moment on, you're going to lead a quiet and peaceful life. You're not going to add to the turmoil that you've already had in your past life. Life in all godliness and honesty. In honesty, Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do you pray for people that you don't like in a way of God punish them, or in a way of God show yourself to them, encourage them, in a way of loving them? Luke 6, 35 through 38, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is a kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Why? For this is good in our text. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. It is the right way. Romans 12:1. I always have a lot of scripture, but I think the scripture speaks way better than I do. Romans 12, chapter 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Romans chapter 14, a couple of chapters over, verse 17 through verse 19. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Ghost. That's what we should be giving. Righteousness, peace, joy. Not hatred. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. You want God to be accepted, to accept what you do, then you need to do it the right way. God's way. Approved of men. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify the other. How many of us have ever talked to somebody and you did something for them and you helped them and they wanted to, and you became friends and you wanted, and they wanted to do things for you? But how many of us have taken somebody and badmouthed them? They don't want no part of you. They want nothing to do with you. Let us follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify the other. If you are not edifying somebody else, you are not the right way with God. He is not accepting you. God desires that all men be saved. Bottom line. Verse 4 of our text. Who will have all men to be saved? Why? Because He said that. That's how I know that. He wants all men to be saved. I want all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. If there is a truth, then there is a lie. Everything outside of the truth is a lie. Everything. There's no gray area. There's no political correctness. It's a lie if it's outside of the truth of God. John chapter 3, verse 15 down through verse 17. That whosoever believeth in Him, bottom line, the right way, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Don't add to that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Don't add to that. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't add to that. That is the truth. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. You're already condemned. But that the world through Him might be saved. Don't add anything else to that. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. John chapter 14 and verse 6 says, Jesus said unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Back in our text, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God. How many gods are there? Somebody tell me. How many gods are there? Everybody.
One.
One God. Now let me rephrase that. How many false gods are there? I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is one God. There's one mediator. One! How many people that was born in this physical body is able to be a mediator between you and God? What does the Bible say? One mediator. Who is that mediator? Who's that mediator, Corinne? Who's the mediator between me, between you and God? Who's the mediator?
Say Jesus.
Jesus is the mediator. Can anybody else be intercessor? According to God's word, you can't. No one can. It might sound good, you might think so, but it's invalid. It's incorrect. One mediator between God and men. And who does it say that that is? It says it's Christ Jesus. Who is it not? It's not Joseph. It's not Abraham. It's not Mary. None of them can do that. It's not Peter or Paul. It's not Timothy. It's Jesus Christ. I would like to instill that. It's Jesus Christ is the only mediator. In Deuteronomy, it says in chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God," how much? I love it when you guys answer. "With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Isaiah 40, turn there, read that. This is not me, this is God. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Isaiah, a prophet of God. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Paul told the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 8:6, "But to us there is but one God." This is to you too. "There is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." There's only one. Prayer and supplication needs to be made for all men, because God gave Himself for all men. First Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for us." How many times did Christ suffer?
One time.
The Scripture says that people that think that they can lose their salvation, they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. You can't lose your salvation. Christ also once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust. Who's the just? Jesus Christ. Who's the unjust? You and I. The just suffered and God accepted it for the unjust. You and I paid our sin debt. "That He," God, "Jesus, might bring us to God." There's our mediator. "Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love." What is love? Love is not the love that you think you might have or think you have. Love, this is what love is. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. That's love. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation, the mediator, the one who can redeem us to God, who can redeem our sin nature, Jesus Christ. His Son, Christ, He is the propitiation for our sins. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. What is the right way? Is it the church's way? Is it the pastor's way? Is it your way? Is it the Burger King way? Have it your own way? The right way is God's way. There's one Lord, there's one faith. Have you accepted the one Lord? Do you believe with all your heart, mind, and soul that He is the Savior and that you must put your faith and trust in Him? Do you believe that this is the church that He has instituted, that we are to be a part of, to grow in, to be a witness to a lost and dying world through in His kingdom? Back in our text, 1 Timothy 2:1, He told Timothy, I exhort that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men. The duty of this church, the right way of this church, is to love the Lord God and our neighbor the same way that God loved you. You and I did not deserve salvation, but He loved us and gave it to us. This world does not deserve salvation, but we should love them and teach them that God loves them and will give that to them, everlasting life. That is the right way. I don't have much more in this sermon. Hopefully I've instilled a few things, sunk them a little deeper, things you already knew. But I pray, and I know each and every one of us have something that we can add to our life to make it more of a living sacrifice to God. My prayer is to continue this church in the right way, for me to continue in the right way, and that you continue in the right way. And do whatever it is the Lord is calling you to do, that you might grow in the right way in all the armor that Jesus Christ has given. He didn't leave anything undone. He covered the whole body. He covered it all. He covered all sins. There's nothing good we can do but to follow His right way. Our righteousness is not righteous, but His is. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But all of His are accepted by His Father. Let's follow God the right way. Let's stand. We'll have one verse of invitation.
Number 560. 560.